NWP Fitterwick,
6th
February 2014.
We don't have a phone.
Oh.
Thanks to Ace.
Do you need another, I've got a number if you need it, in the spirit of collaboration.
Do you have a FPOM number?
No, I have a number, I don't have a phone.
Oh, we are physically missing the phone, got it. You brought the cold weather back with you, I see.
Oh, there he is, the man I wanted to see.
There he is. Morning.
Did you guys lose power?
Not yet.
Yeah, we lost.
This morning.
About 3 a.m.
We had a depression.
No, we were good at 5.
And now the rocks is what opened the depression, but it's not the entire thing.
Here's comes from who knows where,
right?
The world down there.
Pier 14.
Comes straight from Bonneville.
How we talk to each other.
It's comfort. It's comfort. No more pacifiers or something. Just surround your core colleagues. Oh, my apple juice is in there.
Do you have to go through 100 fish to get a
fish?
No, there's
no boat required.
You learn genetic markers, I mean.
One of the other four.
I was thinking about that. It's, you know, after the fact, you know where the fish was supposed to go. So if we follow, get all the data, I would certainly
try to leave one up there with somebody.
Oh, you're a bad man.
A little breath, man. I got it covered up. Cover the head. I heard your voice on the phone once or twice. Get the faces and voices all together sometimes.
I'll put my briefcase up there.
Okay, folks that are on the phone, I apologize, but our IT folks did not set up a conference phone as requested, so we're on my cell phone. So I'll, as people talk, I'll try to repeat comments, and I'll leave it closest to me since I'll probably have to do most of the talking.
So, repeat most of the comments.
Yeah. Some I will not repeat.
They'll be recorded.
So, Did everybody get that? Hello? Hello? Did you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Did you hear my spiel?
No, I called in too late.
Okay. We requested that our IT folks set up a conference phone in here, and they have yet to do so. And so, for the time being, we're having to use my cell phone. Apologize for that. And so I'll do my best to make sure you get the whole conversation.
Pass around the table.
Yeah.
Any voicemail on that cell phone yet?
Uh-huh. Different phone.
Yours.
Yeah. Who do we have on the phone? How's your weather, Carolyn?
Not bad here so far.
Donald Worm, Pacific State Marine Fisheries Commission, Pentagon.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll go around the room. That way you know who's here. That's Brad Eppert, Corps.
John Rarisich, Corps.
Andy Traylor, Corps.
George Medina, Corps.
Randy Lee, Corps.
Hyder Royer, Corps.
Trevor Condor, NOAA Fisheries.
Ed Meyer, NOAA Fisheries. Gary Fredericks, NOAA Fisheries.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
Gary Henry, Corps.
Doug Baus, Corps.
Eric Van Dyke, Oregon.
Scott Benton, Corps.
Lori Abner, Corps.
Andy Sarris, Corps.
And Sean Packley, Corps.
Okay, were you able to hear most of those?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Have the agenda up on the screen here. You can't see it, obviously. But first item, any changes or additions? I've received a few emails from Gary and Tom. I added those items. So we'll just start moving through the agenda. The first item. Oh, Mark Wyland's not here yet, is he?
He's coming.
Okay. The first item is B2FG.
Yeah, we asked our IT folks to install the pull reflector. They haven't done so yet.
So
that will be the hot seat.
Sure. This will be the hot seat.
We're going to move it.
No, I'm fine. Fine. We're at where I am.
No, but on the phone may not be able to hear you, George.
I'll speak loudly.
Thank you, George.
B2FG.
For your cooperation.
We're looking to install a flow reflector prototype. Actually, we're here to brief you guys on that. Just a quick heads up of where we are with some of the other specs that we've got going on, because I'll let Lori speak to that in detail. But we're updating our CFD model. That's moving along real nicely. We've got a study plan that's yet to be approved. Again, Lori's going to speak to that a little bit. And our orifice study that's currently under review. Got Dr. Jack's comments that need to be back checked, and then approval to be done at that point with the orifice study. So with that, I'll turn it over to Lori, and not from the documentation to us. Any questions?
I think you're going to need to have a person talking down the cell phone nearby, because you're really, really safe.
As soon as the papers get handed out, I will make John move. Here.
He will move. He's
there was a, John has sent out a plan, a data collection plan for collecting additional velocity data in front of the VBS at V2 so we could get a better handle on how to design a permanent fix.
In the process of coming up with that design, of coming up with that data plan, and rightfully so, being pushed to come up with a way to get a test on something that would actually restrict the flow up the slot, we were able to develop a flow control plate prototype test. And basically, it mounts to a plate that's going to be fixed on the floor that the VBS sits on top of. And sorry, folks, on the phone, I talk with my hands. So on the VBS sits on a concrete floor that then goes back towards the return flow. And we're going to put a horizontal plate on that surface that extends out about 50% of the opening towards where the emergency bulkhead gate is. So it's about 18 inches, 13 inches. So it's going to block the amount of flow. It is only a prototype. It is only a test. It cannot stay there. We're not using stainless. The bolts that we're using to pound it down and hold it down are stainless. But it will be removed. It is going in unit 15A. It's going in 15A, which is scheduled to be down for something to do with the unit, and it's scheduled to come back on the April 14th, so April 4th, scheduled to be back online. So we have to be done, pardon me?
April 4th,
I think, is the 4th, is when it's scheduled to be back online.
So where do you get a test?
With the plan for testing, and this is the meat of this conversation, is our testing plan. And our testing plan is primarily focused on getting the high flows. In order to get the high flows, we have to have a high tailwater, have to have a high total river. In particular this year, that's probably only likely to happen in May and June. So the goal is to test in the last 2 weeks of May, the first week of June. Those are the approximate dates. There are issues associated with that. We recognize that. So what you have here is two test plans. You have test plan A, which was the one that was provided in the original document. And there are 8 tests there, not necessarily in the sequence we would do those tests. And in that, there are 4 tests that would require high flow.
Test 1, 3, 4, and 6.
Okay,
that's changed.
Yeah, 8 would have been a high as well. Uh-huh. It was written as a high, but we had not decided exactly what it was.
Okay.
So 8 would have been high in the original plan, but it was an undetermined test.
So you're down then.
So we're down to 4. Okay. But also trying to recognize concerns with the number of fish passing through the system at the time, we tried to say, well, what could we do to reduce that number? So test plan B. That gets down to 2 high flow tests, with the potential for a 3rd one, and I'll get to that in a minute. So there's an assumption that we have to make. We're going from test plan A to test plan B. Based on all the data that we've collected to date, both in the prototype, in the physical model, and in the CFD model, we don't believe any type of flow control is required in slot C. That we only really need it in slot A and B. And part of that is because the 37.8% of the flow goes through slot A, 34.8 in B, and 28% in C. So it's got less water going up it, so it's got less issues with the flow characteristics in that slot. So if we go to test plan B, we're going to assume that slot C is fine, and we're not going to be having to do any type of flow control in that slot. The other assumption get the high flow. We don't believe we can do the design because we need the data to know. Right now, our tool set, the CFD model is now actually replicating flow patterns. That's a story that's kind of entertaining, but not worth the meeting time. But we still need the prototype data. It's our best data. The physical model didn't replicate this, so we need that data to design a permanent flow control situation. So test plan B has two high flows. It's what's test 1 and 6. There are some if numbers were low requests, if the numbers that were going through the JBS system were low, we would also like to get the modified VBS at a high, which was test 4 before, but it would be a choice.
What is the modified VBS? That's something that we haven't had much discussion about.
The modified VBS is there's a spare VBS at Bonneville that they use for cleaning purposes, and what we have done is we are doing.
Just to the top panels?
The top two panels are being made solid. That's all it is.
And again, we're doing something else.
No, it's just taking the top two panels and making them solid,
right,
and then collecting data for that characteristics,
right, okay,
primarily to see if the hotspot just shifts down.
That's
the intent of that.
How are you going to test that part?
Just by measuring the velocity.
The framework, or
it's the same velocity data collection that we've done before, where we so it's exactly the same. It's just a few inches off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. It's not just gain. Okay.
No. It's actual
more
velocity. Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, we believe we have to collect data in the May-June time frame. We can get it down to 2 high tests. So it'd be 2 units for a day. It'd be unit 14A and unit 15A.
Lori, what's the hours duration?
It basically is a long day, so probably
10
hours.
Yeah, probably about 10 to 12 maybe even.
Because it takes that long to collect the data. There's 16 transducers. They have to collect enough data at all the zillions of spots as we come up. And they have to be on station long enough that we get stable statistically.
They're all simultaneously collected, right?
It's 4 instruments.
Oh, it's
16.
4 instruments that's moved 4 times.
Yeah, 4 stops at each elevation, so 16 points.
Yes. 10 hours, it's not just running.
No.
That,
oh, it's constantly moving.
I understand that.
Yeah.
You're actually moving these things around and getting a mapping.
Yes.
The entire data well. Yeah. So, okay. That makes sense.
Lori, what river discharge you need is your minimum for the proper tailwater differential?
I think we get there at about a 310. 300.
Piece of cake, right?
No, it's not a piece of cake.
No, that's
not.
Yeah.
Scott.
310 this year?
Okay.
I need to look. He says 225. I think it's more than that.
Okay, well, let me know what the it is, and that's why I'm asking the duration of time. Are you doing it Monday through Thursday?
He's trying to say do it Monday through Thursday.
Well, actually not Bonneville, Tuesday. Tuesday and Friday is better.
The plan is working around the work crews of the project. We have a tentative schedule, and I did not bring that with me, I apologize, in the plan that was provided. And we will shift the high-velocity test to when it is most favorable to do them.
Because for 10 hours, we can pick up the flow probably 30K over what the base is, but we just, it's best if it's during the time we need to energy.
Right.
So that's the weather Tuesday through Thursday.
Yeah, and we're collecting data Tuesday through Thursday, and we can, it's 3 weeks.
Okay. Lori, from a planning standpoint, I'm just wondering, from a head standpoint, would there be any special requests since this is, back, I think, John, we've had this conversation with respect to the tables and the fish passage plan. In order to get those high flow rates, you need the proper head of the project. We'll be asking for any special 4-bay operations as far as...
Hey, this is Russ. You probably heard this, but we can't hear the folks on the phone.
I, I will rephrase the question once it's all out there.
Any 4B request to facilitate the proper head to get the proper flow?
Okay, the question is being asked, are we going to require a special operations, either 4B, special request from BPA on Q? Our first goal is to get approval to do the test, and then we will go through and based on flow predictions,
okay,
determine how hard it is to get it.
Okay.
If it looks like it's on the bubble but would take special coordination, we will request special coordination.
Sounds good.
But our first issue now is just making sure we can move forward with the test.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, yeah, let's make sure that when we do the test that we actually get it done. That's important. I mean, it's, as far as I'm concerned, you're down to two days. I don't care when you do those, as long as you get the test done correctly. That the third one, the VBS one, let's talk a little more about that. I need to understand you.
I would prefer the high to get the larger difference. I am fine with the medium, but if the numbers of fish at the juvenile facility were low, and
I see what you're saying is number. You're looking at a biological.
If the biological numbers were low, and you guys said we could do high, we do high, but it'd be based on information from the from the facility.
So you're okay with going ahead with that?
Yeah.
That's certainly until.
Yeah, the day up.
Okay, I'm good. Now let's get it done right. So 3 days, you've cut it down significantly. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to getting the flow through the river.
Well, depending on what the queue need is, I may need a couple days in advance to get the load available for
right.
that iron. So we may need to have to make the biological trigger.
And if we can't make it, we can't. But
we can talk about that. I mean, once we get the season, it's just sitting here, you don't know, but. Look at the numbers. Looking at the numbers, it's like 1 year out of 10 that we see. Many. Oh, you're still talking about the first week of June, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we would do the higher flow test would be done towards the latter part of the window.
Right.
Based on the numbers.
But we're still going to have to look at that as we get into season two. If that looks like it slides forward, then we may want to talk about.
What's your total window? May 1 through June.
It's the last 2 weeks of May and the first week of June.
I just want to make sure we get it done. I want to get this thing done and move on. So, two days, I think it's worth the risk, especially if that's at that time. But it's sockeye is the issue, and it's, we see 1 year, I think that was in 10, that we had a later sockeye run, and then we had fish, and the first thing we do was the weather system. But that was a lower
so kind of
year,
a baseline.
Like this year, we've had other local years where the run wasn't that way. So,
2 days.
What's going on?
2 days, 20 hours.
But it's on time. Issues with the TRVs blocking it. So
what I would propose is that as.
I think they shouldn't be any longer than 12.
That I lay out a schedule based on projections that will be updated as projections get better. I really don't think I can start until, I can't really do that till the March projection. It's just not worth trying to do anything until after the March projection of flows, but.
I put together a final change form for approval by FPOM, and let's get it done.
Yeah, I'll send that.
I think, Tom, what are you thinking?
This is actually a lot less than we thought.
I think so, yeah. To get it done and get this.
But if you guys got a little flexibility, like as long as we're not doing around the peak of the sockeye.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that.
Let me know what the minimum discharge or the range.
I will do that as soon as I get, well, it may be Monday.
But that's okay. I mean, we can make a lot of this happen in such a short duration. With enough coordination.
10 hours. We can have it done.
And the only good thing is slot 15A will be good because it will have the flow control device in. And so No, my point is it's too big.
When does it come out?
The unit goes back down and scheduled to go down September 18th.
You can wait that long.
So Russ, were you able to get enough from Lori to understand what's being proposed?
Well, I can hear Lori pretty well. The phone
when I came in a little bit late on the conversation. But it's one where, from our perspective, the biggest impact we've seen has been on subbuterlean and sockeye. And so, obviously, we're concerned with snake or sockeye here, and that the proposed period earlier seemed to have a high probability that it might capture a significant part of the tail end of the snake or sockeye run, which was a concern for us. And, you know, we want to do the test. I'm almost wondering if it might be better to do the test when there's a lot more fish with their yearling chinook and steelhead instead of either all chinook, some yearlings, or sockeye, which have the biggest issue with the entering the scaling and the higher turbine loadings at Bonneville.
If you move it forward, you will get more sockeye than later.
Yeah.
And the sub-yearling part of it was spring creep. Later, sub-yearlings were actually in pretty good shape. Didn't see much problem.
Based on the flow characteristics for this basin, in order to get the tailwater forebay elevation change, we need to push the high Q. We're basically looking at doing the test from the second to the third week of May to the second to the third week of June. So that's all that we've got about a month, and that freshet will come in there in that time frame. And that's when the units operate with those high Q. Now, if you have a 2011, we could do it today, but that's not what we got. So. When we start talking about moving it, that's the window.
But you guys have flexibility, is the point.
We will work with...
Yeah, I guess my point is that let's get it done, so watch the freshet. If the freshet's a little early, we can talk about that. You're down to 2 days, 20 hours, maybe three. That one I think we have to talk about, but that's a trigger point, so...
And they do a float control device in 15 minutes.
So there'll be more conversation on this.
I'm good.
Correct.
In season, but not now, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Personally, I would say yes to that.
It's a go. We're just going to work the details.
Yeah. And we have it out that if we see super high number of sockeye, maybe we don't do it that day.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm for adjustment. We have flexibility. That's all we need to do.
So I will, I'll resend out the FPOM coordination with the updated information based on this conversation and let people comment again. Yeah. We have another FPOM meeting coming up
next week.
Some of us won't be here. Yeah. And hopefully by then we'll...
I'll just respond to you.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Keep going.
And the reason that we wanted to put Mark Weiland a little higher on the agenda was just because we're at Bonneville talking about D2 and the thought that it's relevant. So, Mark, if you could go ahead and come over here and sit in the hot seat. Folks on the phone, I just walked into the web meeting. Mark's got a presentation. I'm going to put it up. Hopefully... folks are able to log into that.
What to call it, the fun scene.
Yeah, I'm able to
get it. Did you want to give you a chair? It's kind of awesome. It's a hot seat unless it's been pre-warmed by somebody.
We can't provide chairs.
No coffee, no chairs.
I'm not using it.
Yeah. We'll just get to this.
Are you going skiing later?
Or is this the Jamaican bobsledding outfit?
It's not that cool.
Ray.
Yes, Russ.
Yeah, I had logged on, and I had seen someone's computer and a piece of the agenda. So I go back to the
It had. It showed. It, it showed. It showed you there, Russ.
Okay. You were there.
You may not get that far away from the visitor bar.
But I've seen that odd thing happen to as well in the past, but it doesn't seem to last very long. So hopefully, I jump into the presentation here soon.
Yeah. And we'll skip the intro objectives. Everyone's familiar with what the data mining was looking at, or what we had Mark do. We wanted to look at past data, the last 4 years of acoustic telemetry data, Bonneville, look at B1 turbines at different operating points, B2. And Bonneville Spillway, you know, he had 15-20 minutes at AFEP. I think there's some more information, and so maybe we'll just start here in the methods, just to refresh, quickly go through. So, Mark.
Okay. Yeah, there's extra slides over what we had at AFEP. They didn't give me my 2 hours, so. but this. No. So these are the operating ranges that I'll be showing and we'll be discussing today for B1 and B2. We divided the peak 1% operating efficiency into four quartiles, Q1, Q2, Q3, and Q4. So each have basically divided the operating range into four even sections. And then the blue line at the top is from TSP, the best operating point, but I'll be describing it as the best operating range, which is from the upper end of 1% up to the best operating point. So it's more of an operating range since only one or two fish might have hit right at that point. And then in the slides, we'll have another operating level that's called ABOP, which is above the best operating point, which is from the best operating point up to gen limit. And then Q2, or at B2, we've got the quartiles again, Q1 through Q4. Okay, Brad. So first I'll start with the B1 survival by species and operation. And these are the different years of operations and the fish that fell within each of these operating ranges. So this is for yearling Chinook in 2010, adding 2011, and then 2012. So you can see over the range of years that it... how it varies between years for the operating ranges, and we were able to get a very good range within the 1%, and then in 2012 we were operating up to generator limit and above the best operating point for a portion of the season. So for yearling Chinook, these are the survival estimates, and
these are single release estimates.
Single release from the face of Bonneville Dam down to river kilometer 156, which is just above Portland at the Willamette River. And so, first, we've got the less than the 1%. This is below Q1. I was going to I was thinking of leaving them out, but just for, it's probably when the units were coming online. You've got 22 fish for that, so, and going through the rest of the slides, the sample size is very small too, so some of them, you have a little lower survival. I'd take it as a grain of salt. But you can see for Q1, Q2, Q3, and Q4, there is not a significant difference across the confidence intervals for the different operating ranges. For the graph on the lower right, the LL to UL is the lower 1% up to the upper limit of the 1% operating range. So it's a combination of the upper left-hand graph and then the lower limit to the best operating point, and then the upper limit to the best operating point, and then the 493 fish above the best operating point up to the generator limit. And the survival estimates, single-release survival estimates for those are very similar across the board. And then for steelhead at B1, the trends in passage are very similar between the three years, and you can look at the survival estimates again. There's not a significant difference between the dividing the 1% operating range into the four quartiles, nor for the combined levels all the way up to the generator limit. And then for us...
A couple things is that it looks like that overall, though, that it looks like survival for steelhead is lower than Chinook yearlings.
Yeah, a little bit.
A couple percent.
And I do see a trend that generally... Q1 and Q2 look better than Q3 and Q4, and both of them, Q4 has pretty tight confidence intervals, and to me, you know, visually, looks like on this one for steelhead that Q1 and Q4 may be close to being significantly different.
It wasn't significantly different, and Q4 survival is actually higher than Q2 and Q3, not significantly, but it is...
Right, for steelhead, but like I said, between the Chinook and steelhead one, it was just a pattern that I noticed common to both species. There did seem to be a little bit of difference there going on, but the main concern I have is that, you know, we're talking, and yeah, it's not that huge difference, but it looks like the steelhead survivals are the low 90% range, where the Chinook survivals were the high 90% range.
These are single-release estimates as well.
These are single-release estimates that are all above 90. To the mouth of the Willamette.
No, these are pretty amazing.
Okay, so maybe just, you know, the single-release method may be the difference between Chinook and steel, is what you're saying?
There's more mortality than just the passing through the turbine.
It's sea lions.
There's sea lions. There's birds. There's.
I get it.
We've seen it before.
Figure
out
what
the turbine. This is not a
common.
No.
So first of all, with these single release, it's best to look at more some of the trends than the. Numbers for 96%, because that comes out in your paired release estimates. Oops, I'm going back up again. And for subyearling Chinook, 2010 through 2011, there was no summer in 2011, so we have 2 years, 2010 and 2012. And most of this was within the 1% operating range and just a little bit above. And you can see here the trends. that there was not much operation at Q1 or Q2. More of the operation was in the Q3 to Q4 range throughout the summer season. And there was not a significant difference with the high sample size. Q4 has a real tight confidence interval, which we were looking for by combining these multiple years of data. And there, we did not see a significant difference in the bind ranges in the lower right-hand corner of this either for the sub-year and Chinook.
Sorry, but looking at this on the Chinook yearling and steelhead data, it was only 2012 that you had operations above the upper limit to evaluate. Did you look at that year separately and not combining it with the other 2 years to see if there was a trend in the 1 year that we tested more of a range or had data for more of a range?
No. Most of our... we probably have it, but I did not bin it out separately. Most of this was try to improve the power of our test across multiple years. So,
what was he?
He was asking about 2012. Just looking at the yearling Chinook and steelhead for Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. Just binning it across the range for just
about
the
years.
Yes, yeah.
Well, yeah,
we probably should do that, because that would be within 1 year. Of course, it probably changes as the season went on. But you can see there, I think, that in 2012 we tested a lot more when we were testing the within that operating range and even above it. So give us a more spread in 1 year possibly to look at. But obviously it's going to be, there's going to be other confounding factors in that.
Yeah, like
I'm just saying, if we had it, it'd be interesting to look at that thing.
Okay. I'm writing that down, Russ.
No, you're recording it.
That's where you were.
Yeah. So I'd been asked to look just above the upper 1% and then up at the bot limits to see what survival looked like. And as you can see, the sample sizes are quite low here. When you get close to the upper limit, there's a few in 2012. And basically, the confidence limits are too wide, there's not a standard error when you have all 12 fish surviving near the limits. So, what does it really mean? And then for the steelhead, same problem, just the sample sizes. So. Some of this teasing out, like you had mentioned, Russ, for 2012, we're probably going to start bumping into a little bit of a sample size issue to actually come up with anything that's biologically meaningful. But
you need to work for NOAA because they don't seem to care about that.
Gary cares.
I saw the transport study yesterday, so that's why I can say that.
And then... survival for the subs, just above the 1% operating limit, it was very similar, just actually slightly higher, I think, than the Q4. But I don't believe there was a significant difference. So that range, there's nothing meaningful there. Moving on to B2 for species, we actually have 5 years of data in spring here. So 2009, 2010, 2011, and then adding 2012 in there. So again, we have a really good spread across the operating ranges and the head differential for these. And looking for at the yearling Chinook, this graph is slightly different than the one I presented at AFEP. The Q4, we had a significant difference where they were significantly lower, and it was driving me nuts.
He fixed it.
And I'm going to give the reasons so that I'm not.
It was wrong.
That the lower granite fish that were released for the TAG effect study in 2008 were included in this, and they were meeting the end of their TAG life, so they were passing at the dam, but not being detected at 156. That and there were no steelhead released for that study, so that's why we didn't see the effect there. So that's why I don't sleep at night. But there's no significant difference across the four operating ranges here. And the sample sizes are really good for all of them. This is what the fish are telling us. So, and then for steelhead, again, pretty good distribution across all 4 years. It's not quite as consistent. It is there. There is not a significant difference between the Q1 or Q2. We looked at that. There's overlapping confidence intervals still for those.
Mark, how do you, with a single release, get more than 100%?
It's part of it's the model.
It's still an estimate. And so, if your detection probabilities aren't...
you're saying your detection probabilities are thrown your own...
Yeah. And when you get these small sample sizes, it's... That's why you're not supposed to look anything less than 1%. Just ignore.
Okay, just check.
No, it's I went back when we started this. Skalski explained it to me, but
I feel better now.
I'd be bleeding out of my ears if I had to listen
actually
to that
listened.
Again.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's recorded, right, Tammy?
So, and then for sub-yearling Chinook. The 4 years, that's similar, no significant difference between the operating conditions. And this
is, just to throw this out there, this comment, that this was, there was some concern that because we were now, we were operating B2 at the lower end of the 1% range, that you may reduce FGE, send more fish through turbines, and therefore lower overall survival, but that doesn't look like that's the case.
The concern was for the operating conditions within the turbine at those low ends.
Right.
Yeah, and there was that supposed to be that rope below the runner, and either these fish are seeing it and avoiding it, or it's really not, either not there or not an issue.
That's the question.
You can't scale a water molecule, so.
We spent a lot of time looking at those models and judging them for their fish passage potential. It's kind of makes you wonder about that whole process.
Well, you need it to be able to develop things, but then you have to, I guess, ask the fish the question if they believe the model.
Hard to do that though if you don't build versus scale.
Mr. Lumpet.
The other thing we looked at was in 2008 and 2011, there were times when the STSs were in or out, and divided by year, the sample sizes are quite low. You can see with the STS in 2008, 93% survival for yearling Chinook, and without 82% or about 83%. And then in 2011, 94, 95, mid-90s for percent, the trend in survival is inverse, but with the wide confidence intervals, there's really not a significant difference there.
Not even in 08?
In 08, there may be.
Yeah. That's quite a difference. Yeah.
Plus or minus 12, yeah. Plus or minus 8.
And these are all fish. These are all fish probably going through the units. They're not guided at all. So.
The averages are quite different.
Yeah, they are.
The other part of that, I think, when the screens are out, they're out because there's a lot of debris. There's a lot of
there's other things going on,
and so. I mean, does the presence of the screen change anything in the turbine in terms of the way it operates or flow conditions?
Yeah.
I mean, in the intake, but what about
as it goes into?
Yeah, you'll see a difference in the flow characteristics through the unit with the STSs in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Turbulent.
Okay.
So the in 2008, all of the fish went through within the Q4, the upper 25% of the 1% efficiency, and in 2011 there were some within the Q3 and Q4 range. So in 2011 we pulled the fish that were in the Q4, and then bottom two. Survival estimates are for the Q3 and Q4 combined, just for comparison.
Let me see here.
Those. And then steelhead, better survival without the STSs in 2008. And then in 2011 with and without also. But the sample sizes are quite small. Moving on to the spillway. This graph basically don't read into it too much. So this is by bay for 2008, 2010, 2011, 2012. There was, have a survival study at the spillway in 2009. Laurie had asked us to look at across or to group bays. So we're going to the next slide will be showing with bays 1 through 3 grouped and bays 16 through 18 grouped as the end bays, and then bays 4 through 7, bays 8 through 12 for looking to see if the erosion and damage to the spillway was causing any survival differences. And then the other 13 through 15 combined also. There's variation, but there are not significant differences here. And trying to pull out a trend from this.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Did you happen to match up gate openings with that?
Yeah, I've just looked at the end bays versus the center, and higher numbers of fish going through some of those end bays.
Yeah,
I was wondering, like, take a look at gate opening and see if that would seem to correlate to anything. You'd think we'd have something a little less obscure than this.
But remember end bays that are more open than the center bays. The end bays have higher fish passage, but then there's the 40-0 traction. Oh, it's more shorelines, and there's probably more predation going on along the shorelines than there is in the center.
So it's astute, you're saying?
Well, it's actually not too far from uniform, though. The patterns are
a little bit
higher on the ends, but not much.
Yeah, you do see a few more fish on those end bays.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a reminder, the worst damage was spillway damage is in bay 9, 12, and 14, which was repaired. I'm not making any.
14's fantastic.
At 14, it was the worst.
I mean,
It's got some of the better survival there.
Same thing like base 6 for steelhead doesn't look so good, but then for, you know, so it seems fine. It's like,
yeah, yeah. And, you'll,
And you know that Chinook don't do as well through the spillway as steelhead. Steelhead survival that's higher. So.
And there's like, there's no one bay that seems to be driving the survival down.
No, that's what I was hoping for, one bay or a few bays.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all just generally low.
No, it's just,
no,
yeah, it doesn't.
Sweet spots. Nothing like it.
No.
Can you go back to that for a minute?
Oh, no.
Just an observation for you all might want to look a little bit more at the bathymetry downstream of the Stilling Basin. You have a higher rock basalt zone downstream of about basically 7 through 13, 14. And you have deeper holes on the outside. Again, I'm not saying that there's any, but you have very different downstream conditions, receiving water conditions, bathymetrically in that Stilling Basin. So,
it doesn't seem like it makes sense to try to pull trends out of something when we're seeing no significant difference across any of these. Yeah, the point estimates are different, but if you believe in statistics, which I think,
and the confidence intervals are pretty wide.
Was this across how many years?
4 years.
So this is 4 years.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, because you have 4 years, you have vastly different flow operations across those 4 years. So that's just going to muddy this up.
Well, and then if you wanted to, I've got a slide that I buried at the way end that because I didn't want to show it, but it was by individual year.
Yeah.
And it.
Yeah. But did you group by a set of bays for individual year?
Well. Yes. Yeah. So at the slide after this one, here's group bays across all years. I think there was a significant difference between bay 4 through 7 and 1 through 3 for yearling Chinook.
Aha!
Well, there it is. Yeah, but then for steelhead.
But it's not for steelhead.
But steelhead tend to do really better. Well through the spillway and Chinook down. I mean, that's the key.
Yeah.
The downside
yeah.
is that when you look at the overall survival numbers, you don't see really. It's like 95 for 95.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
yeah.
crap.
And so then if you want to look at, I call this my circus tent slide just from the colors. Here's by individual years, 2008, 2010, 2011, and 12. For those group bays, and
the confidence intervals seem why for those numbers. Is there?
Well, it's because the scales are considered the scale.
Oh, I guess. I'd like to see the actual numbers.
Yeah, yeah, and that's that's the tables with the numbers are going to be in the report, so that you can look at those. So it pulling something out, you know, I could look, okay, 2008 was pretty good for Chinook through bays 1 through 3. It was a little worse other years. So how do you look at it, really?
Well, the flow years and the amount of spill and the patterns that we were using at the time are all important.
Yep,
so
yep, yep. So here's your subs. And those center bays that we're looking for some that it might be bad, bay 10 was pretty, it was your best bay.
So we need to dig some more holes.
There was no holes in 10. There was holes in 9.
Which
no holes in 10.
Which looked pretty good for subs design? As well.
Well, that's where that surface route's going to go then, it's 10.
And then looking the block bays across all years, and also and then block bays by years. Anything else?
That it?
And the fact remains that not making
the statement back then. So, Mark, you have a presentation that you had one where you talked about the spill.
Turn off spill.
Different spill.
Across the different discharge levels. For some reason, this is supposed to be my Yearling Chinook and Steelhead slide.
Looks good.
So if you imagine right now, there's really a pretty consistent trend. I think it starts at about 120K, and then there's, on this right-hand side, there is above 290K, and it goes from levels that are mid 90% survival, and at above 290, it drops off to about 50% survival. And there's a couple hundred fish in there for both steelhead and yearling chinook.
And what's your X again on this?
It's in 10K increments.
Oh, what are the data? I'm sorry.
Okay, so this is for the subs. This one is here. I have no idea what happened to that slide.
You're saying at the higher spill levels, survival dropped.
Yes. So it was pretty consistent up to the 280K, and then we binned above 280, and it was between 290 and up to, I think, 320 was about the highest spill, and it was about 50% survival. For those, why? But it was for yearling chinook and steelhead. It was for both species. Up to a certain point, I don't know if you know at that rate, the rocks come off the bottom and they start flying at the fish.
We're talking 290.
Were most of those in 2011?
Yes.
Okay. Let's remember something about 2011. We put a lot of spill through that spillway without tailwater, because we weren't fully loaded at the powerhouse. We had very little water going through the powerhouse in 2011 and spilled hellacious volumes. So there was no tailwater. There was lower tailwater because normally we would be fully powered up.
But it was still like 3 feet or something.
But not enough for the spillway. The spillway is designed based on a tailwater. And that tailwater is based on a fully loaded powerhouse first.
So you're taking a 500,000 liter flow is what it would be designed for, not the 330 or 300.
And so your energy is really messed up in that it's ugly. That's why we move tons and tons of rocks.
Right. But what she's describing is we don't have enough load, so we dump the powerhouse, we put it all through the spillway because it's lowest on the spill priority list.
That we're working on that.
Yeah, you don't have the highest, you don't have the tailwater you need to do that.
No.
Well, we're looking at sub-yearlings.
Is this spillway discharge?
Yeah. So this graph was for yearling and and steelhead.
It was foggy.
What happened there, I don't know.
So is it able to put total discharge and spillway discharge? Because that might show what Lori's showing. That it really is a total discharge.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much data here. Those are things I don't know about in breaking all the data down.
Sure, but it is possible.
So it's definitely possible.
Making that jump, because that's still a very deep tailwater, a lot of energy. But
why don't we focus on that? Why don't we focus on this range that we are typically seeing here? I mean, we've got 100 kcfs as our kind of where we spill typically, and it looks like we have an increase in survival.
And the red line is the percentage of time at that discharge level for the sub-yearlings.
95% or 95K or less is a sub-yearling.
Well, yeah.
Except at nights and late in the year.
But, I mean, what if we went beyond that gap to, not for subs, I'm saying if you see the same trend for yearlings, you went beyond that 100K cap to, say, 120, would you get over your standard?
You know, I bet if someone could put that flat that.
What?
I wonder if someone had a graph about that.
Yeah, let's put that one up. The most important one.
I know I have it on my computer, so I can dig it off.
I still think that this deserves some ad hoc discussion and not a full figure-weight meeting. Just
okay.
Sit down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Those are the ones I've seen. It's really saying something.
I mean, the key here is that Bonneville's still not making the standards. Yeah, we've still got, another, at least one more test, if not two. What are we going to do?
You guys get your
shrug and hope it works? That's a good idea.
And this graph on the discharge, is that spillway discharge or total flow at Bonneville?
That's spillway.
That's spillway, okay. Thank you.
So, and then these are the ones I didn't show at AFEP. These are survival relative to the tailwater elevations.
Cool.
So this is tailwater elevation relative to mean sea level. So, and then the black line is the percentage of time at that tailwater elevation. And for yearling Chinook B1, you actually have very few fish, or relative to the higher tailwater elevations there, but higher survival. But the confidence intervals are quite wide as well, so the significance I don't believe is there. There's lower survival for the steelhead, though. The confidence intervals are very wide there. B1, and then for what do you do with that?
Well, you have those confidence intervals, and it's hard to say.
Yeah.
The way it sort of reflects what you might think. But.
And then here's the sub-yearling Chinook as well.
Lower tailwaters, lower flow, or...
Yeah, I mean, is it tailwater predation, or... Yeah.
Right, but you're also not
the confidence intervals are so wide that you can't say that's lower.
Yes.
It looks lower.
Yeah, but it's not significantly.
Yeah.
And then here's for B2. Survival. Less than...
significant difference above 9 meters?
There was, I believe.
That's actually, we were there a lot in 2011.
Yeah, it's
got to
have a great year.
Yeah.
So high flow has been more survival than tailwaters. Got it.
But
this is turbines, right?
But it's
this
not for the steelhead.
Well, we already know that for the
either way. Yeah.
So, Mark, this is for the B2 turbine?
Yes. Yeah. This is turbines only, no JBS past fish or corner collector.
I mean, you would assume better flow conditions in the tailwaters, I would think. 9 meters.
Or it just means the turbine plume is not moving at all.
I mean, and cooler temperatures, and you think just an evolution factor for predators and prey. And
this is all years combined?
This is all years combined.
It's got to be birds.
So then you think about the total number of fish that went into this analysis over those 3 or 4 years,
yeah.
And there's 264 of them. And so, pretty
thin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what we got.
Sure.
You're
sure. Absolutely.
Faced with doing another test somehow. Doing something. Yeah. What are we gonna do?
We're going to be different.
And then for subs at B2, they do pretty good at that high tail race.
We use Bonneville to average up on the other dams, right?
And a little less well at the lower end.
The Dow steelhead number.
Yeah, steelhead number. The Dow's is one good, one bad.
We're ignoring the bad. We're positive thinkers.
You actually missed it for the Dallas, too. You need to do another test for the Dallas.
Yeah,
we're losing focus.
Get right on that.
Yeah, that's what it says. We put your table in here.
No, it says they'll go have a meeting with you and beat you guys up. That's what it says.
Yeah. And that's going to sit on you.
And then looking at the
really?
Spillway,
for
yearling Chinook and steelhead, tail race elevation, we're not seeing a significant trend, really, for the survival. For the subs, compared to the higher ones, the lower tail race is definitely worse there.
So I, in the interest of
time.
Yeah.
You're sick of talking, hearing me?
Pretty much.
Okay. What we need to do is talk about not so much just this, but the standard.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that internally we've recognized that we need to do that. So here in the coming months, then we'll start to put some meetings together. And
the SRWG figure we combine.
Well, the focus will be on Bonneville. How, you know, the path forward for Bonneville,
right.
And it's going to probably include a lot of this and more discussion on a lot of this.
What can we do?
And so, that's coming. So, March, April, hopefully. Trying to get everybody, just to throw my excuses out. Trying to kick off SRWG for this year and the Willamette RM&E for this year, and so, it's a little ditch that we got out here. And so once I get that settled, then I can. So probably March, April time frame.
Are you changing topics?
We are getting ready to change topics, yes. Any questions?
I have one request on that. Can you remember to bring that graph for yearlings, like that subgraph was built?
Yeah, I'll.
I'd like to see that so we could kind of.
You don't want to see the virtual one?
Yeah.
Just imagine.
So, Doug.
Yeah, I'd like to see the numbers.
I can actually.
Well, this conversation will be coming up very soon with TMT.
This year, maybe not.
The flows on red, but I just wanted to take the opportunity, since all these people will be involved in this conversation, just to reaffirm that are we likely to receive the same request, the midpoint powerhouse to midpoint operation? And then basically, I'm asking the question, does the current draft change form methodology still stand? Or, based on the new information, is there anything that while we have all the players here that are involved in
this, you're right, Doug.
Are there any other facets we might want to address?
There is. Well, the only change is, I mean, because we talked about BOP and the change form. Right. And I think this gives credence that the BOP was a five is not going to be a problem to go through.
Right.
That was one of the gives that we were talking about, that there's a lot of people who want to be around that for.
You talk BOP or generator?
We're talking BOP. Now that's the next question.
Look,
that's the next point. If you want to keep jumping in.
One at a time.
Okay. One at a time. I'm saying the ABOP requirement was put in by the turbine, basically the Corps turbine. Now, if you want to go challenge them and say, hey, we think ABOP is a good point to go to, that's something that needs to be taken up, and that would change the change. That'd be an additional point for change.
It really wasn't put. I don't think anybody's put that in, except maybe Dennis.
But that's something that this data gives.
Have you met Darp next to me?
Well,
I don't know who the core person that put it into that.
He's the TSP guy, though. I mean, it wasn't TSP that put that in. Through TSP, it was best operating range. Was the recommendation if you needed to go there, or even if as a regular operating range is fine too. But nobody was recommending above that best operating range until.
Well, we have the data that shows it's possible.
Yeah. So now it's kind of a shrug. It's hard to say, well, geez, you got to stick within any range of bottom of first powerhouse, at least, if not second.
Yeah.
But the second is still an issue with the gate wells.
Yes.
So, we'll still have that issue with the gate wells. That doesn't go away because of any of this. But the operating range at the first powerhouse is,
exactly.
So where, as far as procedurally, since Spring Creek releases are going to be here before we know it, and we're going to have probably Dave Wills or somebody coming to TMT with an SOR, and I'm speculating since we don't have Dave on the phone, but we generally get the midpoint operation request. So
yes, you'll still get it.
We'll still get it. And
the question will be, what do you do for powerhouse one?
Correct. And okay. So from while we have all of the technical folks here now.
You can easily go to BOP. Now the question is, is the core comfortable going above the BOP? Is really going to be the question that somebody's going to need to talk to and ask. If the Corps wants to say, hey, we think we can go up to anything we want, then that's a discussion point. If they say, no, we think we're going to stay within BOP, that's where you're at. So that's really what the question is boiling down to.
I like the way that we have it currently, where you're loading up the powerhouse within the 1%, and you go above you know, on your priority units, I think you're going to get better tail race egress conditions with that. I guess the question would be, would you, you know, if you can go above BOP, do you, yeah, how do
that's,
you?
That's the whole rub of this whole issue, is going above BOP or spill. I mean, that's been,
correct.
You know,
and
that whole issue.
The,
so
the magic
if,
of
if,
it.
If the BOP issue, we go, you know, you say there's no limit to the operation of Powerhouse 1 or 2, or 1. Then you guys are good. We're good, maybe. You know, that's the question. Yep. Russ and, you know, Tom and Eric, and everybody has to weigh in on that. But if we're all good with that after seeing these data, then this whole issue basically kind of goes away until we fix the, you know, with the flow control device and fix the problem. We can run.
So what I'm hearing for this season, it may be reasonable to honor the Powerhouse 2 midpoint request with the additional hydraulic capacity going all the way up to generator limit. It's kind of getting pretty close to being whack-a-mole, where we push it down and we pop it up and it's a bad wash. And so, but the only other outstanding issue would be the 115 kV line limitation.
Right, it doesn't quite make it there. It's really close. But it'll be another year before we have that RAS scheme in place. So this year,
but
hopefully,
we can still
we're not
fight over the spill versus mid-range Powerhouse 2. But what we are saying is mid-range Powerhouse 2, stay there.
Got to do that.
So whatever you got to do, but now you've got more capacity in Powerhouse 1 than you have top of the past. That's all. That's it. That's what it boils down to. Mm-hmm.
And this also showed the survival at the mid-range was pretty good. And it was pretty, you know, we were concerned that it may be actually lower at mid-range.
Yeah, or even at lower.
Yeah, so not like we're okay there, which strengthens the change.
So we'll go for the lower end now.
What, you know, I mean, if you look at the model, and it just runs screams from it, but looking at that, it doesn't support it.
Your damn air balloons.
Yeah, model air
balloons. Okay.
In the order we discussed taking the screens out, higher flows. You know, you want to run it to the turbine, but you don't want to have it the gateway.
Close back.
Yeah. Let's look at these apps. I want to just look at the graphs. Yes. One thing, but let's leave that for this next. So, you know, special.
Do you
is
want
that
me to
cop discussion?
Pull that
no,
other stuff out.
Another fairway
that question.
What's that?
That came up.
We'll talk. But, and I don't want it to fall off the table completely. I know it's not for time right now to do it. We probably don't need it this year. But at some point, we need to answer that question. When's it okay to take screens out and quit fighting cleaning and quit having the issue with the gatewell? And then put it back in. Is there a flow threshold?
The fish passage line does have criteria.
Like, it doesn't flow that high flows, but we didn't pull them because it wasn't that great issue.
It's more than three.
But if it's the screen in and you have the gate wall problem.
Hi, this is Natalie. I'm having trouble hearing.
Yeah, Natalie, if you can, I would advise you to just come down. ACET didn't get us a conference phone set up, so we're using my cell phone.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Where are we in the agenda?
We're on item number 2, but we're done.
Okay, so you're going to 3. Okay, well, I'm not until 11, so I'll try to check in periodically.
Plug all these survival estimates into and start looking at what makes sense. With your eyes wide open instead of just guesses.
Yeah, and so, folks, we need to move on. We're going to jump down. I guess conditions in the gorge are getting nasty, and so we're going to move down here and let Sean get through his stuff.
Brad, before we move on, that what we were just talking about there, I think that the discussion that we're going to have about this data should be a COP discussion, really.
A COP?
Yeah, Bongo COP is really where it's
Gary wants the cops at the meeting.
What's that?
Yeah, bring the cops.
Gary wants the cops at the meeting. It's not good.
Or you may read them at the meeting, but I don't think so. I think that makes sense because I think we're probably going to have to just take a step back and look at Bonneville overall and see what makes sense.
That's kind of what my charge has been this year to do. So
take a step back.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So let's jump down to
13.
To 13 on the agenda. She was just.
She won't have much to report. She would be talking about B. Really quickly, the Lamprey ten-year plan update. The Corps completed a draft, and we distributed that to the tribes to review.
Has Brian gotten back to you yet?
Not yet.
Okay,
I have gotten comments back from Rose so far. I think the comment due date from the tribes was the 21st of this month, and then we'll integrate their comments into the plan and then distribute it to the region for review, probably later in March. And that'll be Nathan. I think I mentioned this in an email to most of you, but Nathan's going to be filling in for me from beginning next week through mid-June. So look for
you guys. Sounds like in Himalayas by himself.
Going on a vision quest.
You want to be a Sherpa? You always want to be a Sherpa?
Taking the kids?
Yeah. Natalie might have something to add later on the Bonneville Washington Shore, but the repairs were completed successfully ahead of schedule in the fall. I went out with Steve Schlenker and Brent Welton about 2 months ago to turn on the flume and look at that boil issue that we had there to see if any of the tweaks that they made to the system might have helped a little bit. But my suggestion, and I think I sent an email out not too long ago about this, floating this idea, but later this spring to go out as a kind of an FPOM site visit to look at that flume under different flow settings, so that we can kind of collectively get a sense of what's acceptable to operate. So again, Nathan will be organizing that meeting, probably sometime in April. Minor fishway modifications. Scott Wilcox is here sitting in the back of the room. He's from Small Projects right now. They're gonna help us with that project. That's NOAA Fisheries. So then next winter, we'd be looking at making minor mods to the Bonneville Washington Shore Fishway, and those would include installation of diffuser plating and entrance weir modifications, rounding the crests of entrance weirs, and I'll pass these drawings that Brent Welton's been working on as concept at this point. But similar to last year, what we'd be looking at is a condensed design schedule and review schedule, but with the package being done sometime in June or July, I think, was what we were aiming for. So be looking, again, coming from Nathan, but look for some drawings and a report to review.
So
sometime in the next couple months.
In water work period next winter.
Yep.
Okay.
And on the D there, Lamprey Passage Structure Development, PDT, that team hasn't been formed. We don't have a PM yet for that team. A first task, once it does get formed, is to probably have the team, I think we have a limited budget this year, work with NOAA Fisheries, the Mary Moser's crew, on development of those LPS counters. They've been kind of playing around with the counting systems, those mechanical counting systems, for a couple of years, and I think everyone that's working on that kind of agrees that they could probably get some engineering support from the district that would help that effort. So that'd probably be the focus of the task for 2014. I think that's about it. Any specific questions on any of those items?
Natalie, do you have anything to add for the Lamprey flume system?
Sorry, I didn't hear. I didn't know that I was supposed to come down immediately.
Yeah, I didn't. We changed as soon as I told you no.
And I was like, I hung up, and then I got the call. Okay, so I don't know what Sean told you, but on the Lamprey flume, everything's good. We're in the process of doing the O&M work. Scott Apple is finalizing that project. And on the other side, on the liability side, we're still hashing that out with Incotetra Tech, and that's going to be slow going. We think that we had to actually, we were trying to make it very collaborative, and we've had to bring in legal. So we'll keep you posted, but it's a large dollar amount, and Inca's going, whoa, wait a minute. So any questions for me on Bonneville Washington Shores?
So when do we have to change the rods again?
No. They're solid suckers, man. And it's stainless steel, so no time soon. Yes.
Is it going to be running?
Well, so yeah, I mean, we're right now.
Yeah, so that's my question.
What was it? Okay, I've got two. I have one person asked, is it going to run? What's the next question?
It's not on your stuff. What's your question?
No, I'm just looking at my Lamprey stuff here. Just as Washington Shores, but what's going on with the Bradford side?
When were they planning? In the next couple of weeks, I think Jeff Moser and Galen Wolf are going to start installation.
Yeah, it needs to be done by the 20th. I think it's the last day they'll probably be able to
before water. Bradford gets watered up.
Okay. So watering up.
Probably starting that last week of February. So sometime around the 21st, we'll start moving bulkheads and taking clearances off and stuff like that.
Are you guys going to do a site visit when you guys get that thing up?
Because
that was one of the questions we had, is like, we want to make sure there wasn't, I think.
Should you do it that same day that you visit the flume system?
Yeah. So I just want to make sure we're not setting up a surface attraction to get the adults jumping. And Gary, I think, made the same point. So.
Absolutely.
We have video monitoring of the wall, but would that also catch if fish are jumping?
Yes.
Whatever the monitoring is, I asked to make sure we knew that fish were jumping yet. Well, and the project should keep an eye on that too.
We will.
But maybe Tuesday of that week, that last week, I think Wall was Wednesday.
Was it Thursday?
So there's some of us will be traveling on Tuesday to stop by to check out just for whatever.
Okay.
I had a question from John as to if we're going to run the flume back to the Lamprey flume.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on
We are planning on it. So since Sean is going and Nathan's now taking over, the last thing we've got to work through are all the details related to the collection flume pumps and getting that electrical wiring in and getting an alarm to the control room. So that's all the stuff that we've been trying to sort through, and so Sean and Nathan are going to try to work that issue out.
Expect the date would be June 1st to fire it up and have everything.
You got the final pumps are in?
In the next, I think February, the last week in February or something is when the guys from U of I are coming back to install the pumps.
Okay.
And the update from the electrical shop was that they have parts on order for completing wiring it up all the way back to the control room with alarms.
Good.
And also to operate.
So if we lose those pumps.
We need to be able to shut them off. We want to shut them off before they burn out.
With that Washington Shore, who's running that then? I mean, when that's handed over to the project, is that project running it, or is there all the necessary
operators operate, right?
The fish passage plan have all the necessary information, so if these guys know what to do if there's a problem, and we can look at the operation.
Yes, Nathan's going to be working on that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Nathan.
later this month.
I need a retirement job. That's not a good one to me. I'm just trying to work it in there.
It's a work in progress.
Yes.
There is an appendix for Lamprey operations that needs to have all the Bonneville facilities, I think, need to be in there.
Agreed.
Bye, Sean.
Bye.
Drive carefully.
So can I speak to John Day since I'm here?
Absolutely not. Yeah, go ahead. No, we'll jump to 15 so Natalie can get out of here.
Sorry. Well, since I'm here.
Get on with her day.
Well, I've just got crazy life. So on John Day, we're in the process of finishing the changes or the fixes to the plates on the variable width wear. They broke off on that north piece. So we basically asked the John Day staff, operations staff, to bolt plates in, and so we asked for the outage that night to do that. And so I don't think it's completely done yet. I got one more request for more bolts, so stay tuned. I haven't seen a picture. I'm hoping that, I'm hoping it's close.
No,
okay.
I'm sorry, are you talking about the variable width?
Variable width where, right, at John Day?
Yeah, I believe on the 14th, they'll get their parts in, and on the 14th is when they're planning on finishing it.
Okay, so you know more than I do. Thanks, Tammy.
I appreciate it.
Doing my best for you guys.
Are they hard sheet bolts?
And then on the pumps work, we're working with getting a scope of work together. We're sharing the cost of the contractor to get pump 4 up and running. It's still down and failed, but we have the other pumps available, so we don't anticipate any problems running it during the in-water work period, but we got to get that fourth pump up and running. So, are there any questions for me on John Day?
So we're going to be up and running before the fish passage season?
Whenever they're due to start, I mean, I think we're already running, aren't we, Tammy? Well, we had to take it down to.
Northfish?
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
Northfish Way is running. It's just that we will have to have that night outage to finish the regular work here. South Ladder is out.
Is it on schedule?
As far as I have.
There was no extension provided, so.
The 21st is when you're still.
Right, and the contractor knows that. We've had some significant struggles, but they know the 21st. So, but that's not CRFM funded. Do you want an update on that?
I do.
Oh, okay. So this is, for those of you who don't know, this is funded by Vonneville Power Administration funding 2406 money, and our job was to try to stop the water that's just pouring into the powerhouse, basically. And we identified several leaky joints that we've gone in, and we dewatered the fish collection channel, and we've gone in with stainless steel, all ground surfaces so nothing's sharp for fish, rubber behind it, and we bolted in. So we did a final Tuesday. Kevin Hase and I drove out, went into the ladder, and those look really nice. We have, I guess it's 10 of them done. But we've had significant challenges in the chamber below, which is the auxiliary water supply. We had no idea how much clams we'd have to deal with to try to get it dewatered, to get it to a point where the contractor could work. That's been a significant issue.
This is a
John Day. Right.
They haven't been there like 20 years or something, right? Natalie, is that the lower chamber?
I don't even know how many. It could even be more than that. They haven't been in it forever, and they only have, like, they said 4 12-inch drains for that big monster massive space. It's, I'm like, really? So, anyway, we basically had to do a contract mod to bring in equipment, bobcats, to clean it out so that they can at least get to the joints to fix the joints. Okay. Then that's ongoing. That's the process that we're in right now. And that's supposed to be done. All that's supposed to work is supposed to be done by the 21st. And then we will proceed to go to the intake deck area and actually do the joints on top, and then we're actually in the process of awarding a contract to drill water stops at specific locations. So that's that work, but doesn't
this
really.
This is all unfunded.
This is all Bonneville Power, 2406 funded. Yeah. So are there any questions about that?
Okay.
We did get. I have pictures. If you would like to see those smooth edges on those. Water stops that went into the fish channel. I have lots of pictures of it, so okay. I can dump them and
send them to Tammy. We can go to their pump.
I'll send them to Tammy.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So if you have any questions, just let me know. They looked really good. They were nice and smooth. And they're beveled edges and everything else. So, okay. Anything else for me? Okay. Thank you, everybody. Have a safe day. It's going to get ugly out there.
Thanks, Natalie.
No, they're predicting it. That's
will you Will you email me those updates?
Oh, I gave you these updates.
Oh, you
sent
did.
Them
okay.
to you, but I think I might have forgotten John Day. I see that I only did 3 today.
Okay.
So
all right. Thank you.
It might not be today. It might be Monday. I'm off tomorrow.
Okay. So just make sure Tammy.
You and Tammy?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I'll get you the pictures today, but I don't know about the update. Okay, thanks.
Yep.
What's that?
Okay. We'll get back to real quick on the JSATS database. Tom asked to add this. I can tell you, I met with Skalski in his shop last Friday. The database is up. It's ready to go. And just need to do some aesthetic work.
Change the passwords so we don't have access to it.
Exactly. And the reason being, they went to our internet website, the Cores, and they took some of the pictures and the logo and all that stuff and put it up there. And then if it stays that way, then I'll probably have to take it to our public affairs office, at which point they'll probably say, well, here, well, then we'll just manage it for you. And then I'll have a big fight with them, and then they'll put the kibosh on it. And so I'm going to ask John to make it a CBR logo and leave my PAO office out of it. I would say I've been at the Willamette Review this week, or I'd have done it. But so hopefully by late next week we'll have it up and running. It has all of the 2010, 11, 12, and 13 data in it from the Columbia and the Snake, and folks will be able to start to access that. So.
Well, I might as well kick you on the other one then. Research reports?
That's on the agenda.
You added it?
I did add it.
Okay, cool.
Any questions on the database stuff? And the reason it's later than it should have been, the guy that worked for John that was building it took another job. He was about two-thirds of the way through it, and John had to bring in somebody else to pick up where he left off. And, you know, they're like, I don't know, artists. They all have their different styles and ways of doing things, and hers was different than his. And so, but it is finally up and going.
So what's the date?
I'm hoping to call him next week and tell him to push the button. I've got to talk to John tomorrow, either this afternoon or tomorrow, and ask him to remove all the core logo stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then have him push the button. So
who will have access to it?
Anybody can have access to it. There's a process for requesting access.
Uh-huh. It's a 2-year waiting.
There is a waiting list.
Yeah, and you have to request every number of fish one at a time.
No.
Takes a form for each.
And so.
And is this updated automatically, or do you have to download a new version of it every time?
The data won't be available until it's been finalized. So for example, 2014, it won't be in there until all of that, until sometime late in 15. It's not a database where it's a data archive, and so what you will have access to is the tag data. So how big was this fish, what was its name, all the information for that particular fish. You will have the location of nodes in that given year for a given study, and then you will have the what's called the detection event data, so the first and last time a fish was seen on a given receiver and how many detections it had. And then there's tag life data.
So you have to build your own models and stuff.
You will have to build your own. Yeah, you'll have to do some work and build
your
own.
That's pretty raw data, it sounds like.
It is pretty raw data.
Yeah. But you're cutting out all the things in between the first and the last. So for every node, you get a first and a last.
Yes. The other thing that's now available are the software, the shareware, freeware, whatever you call it, for building capture histories. for doing the survival estimates, for doing the tag life corrections, all that stuff. And so
that Skalski's putting on the web as well?
It's a lot of that stuff's already on the web, the software. And so it shouldn't be with some work on the user's part, they should easily be able to duplicate the survival estimates that we got. So, and then if you want to, you know, change the way the change the primary detection arrays, you could do that and have a ball.
Okay, so,
yeah. The other part of the other there's another file. These are in, these will all be in comma delimited files, text files that you get.
This is going to be exact. Could you? No, you do it yourself.
Exactly. I'm not analyzing the data for you. I've already done that.
You got it. You do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just but they might not like the answers to come up later.
So.
Your data saved.
Yeah. So. Another file that tells you you know where a fish passed essentially at each project, stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
And now that the George has left, hopefully he'll come back. Who do we got?
We got, George kind of went through orifices, but he's got some more stuff after that. I guess we'll do AFF next.
Okay. Sure.
So,
Joy.
Yes.
Favorite subject.
Yeah, so we finally got some funding.
It's
an option.
Does Chris Fick agree? Say yes, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not that dumb.
He said, I see it.
No.
Yes. The first word I heard, he said,
no,
Tom said, yeah.
No, I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do that.
So we had mortality in the lab. We basically did some repairs last winter maintenance period. Continued to see mortality last year. So that led us back to do more work. And we received funding and came up with a plan for this year. Part of that plan consisted of improving the trash raking conditions by allowing better access to the trash rack. We had problems, if you recall, with shad building up on that trash rack, and that actually changed the water elevation in the lab. And it's very difficult physically for the researchers to deal with all those fish. We had 1,500 to 2,000 of them on that trash rack at times, and they had to get those off. So part of that improvement was to enlarge the access hatch in the floor grating and remove the splash shield on the lamprey flume to get better access to that area, and then provide a custom rake for those guys to use to allow them to rake better and more efficiently. And that work is complete.
And a staff gauge? Did you put a staff gauge?
The staff gauge is in progress right now, and there will be one in there. And we identified an elevation just upstream of the trash rack that we think is probably the best balance for that lab. And it's about a 5-foot depth off the floor in that area. So that's being worked on right now.